listening to
John and Scott on AKC's
Total Talk Nonsense.
All right, AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 48, part 2.
48, part 2, John.
Of a three-part episode. And we have Professor Tom with us via Skype.
Via Skype.
Oh. Via the polling machine. Go.
Already I'm screwing it up.
Always with Skype, I'm telling you.
No, it's my dumb ass. I have the sound generator in the wrong spot.
I hate it when that happens.
And it's the same control for the fucking Skype.
Fucking Skype.
Anyway, so I just cut off the intro music. So that's cool. I could play other music, though. Here. And it won't even affect you.
Awesome.
Can you hear that?
No, I can't hear the music at all.
Okay.
Fucking Skype.
Fuck Skype!
I fucking hate Skype! I fucking hate Skype.
So anyways, we were talking about movies, and Scott wrapped it up with talking about...
Battle Royale, sent to me by Spike of Spike and Rachel.
Right.
What is that? I've never seen that one.
Oh, man. Well, the way Scott describes it, it's a must-see.
It's a must-see. It's a Japanese film, and Korean subtitles are the default, but you go to the setup menu and you can pick English. It took me 20 minutes to figure that out. But I only got through 40, maybe 55 minutes. I haven't seen the whole thing. So I want to get John and I want John to see it, and then we can watch the whole thing. I think it's only like 90 minutes or something. But it's about...
You should tell Tom to come over, too.
Yeah,
I got the big screen down here.
It's about a group in Japan in the future. They take a lottery, and they grab a classroom of kids, because the kids are smarting off, and they bring them to an island, and they have to... fight to the death over 3 years.
So it's like a forced Lord of the Flies.
Right. And the last survivor gets to go back to Japan.
It's Lord of the Flies Thunderdome.
Right. Yeah.
That's awesome. So yeah, that's very cool.
I got to see that.
Now, John, the other movie I saw, and I think you've seen it, and Professor Tom has seen it.
Yes.
And this is one that I took Friday afternoon off. And I went and checked out with a couple of coworkers of mine at the matinee. And we went to a really scummy theater. I'm never going there again.
Where was it?
Lincolnshire.
Oh, yeah.
It was a shithole.
There's cum stains everywhere.
I expect the floor to be sticky, okay? I do not expect I do not expect my seat to be sticky.
Oh,
in the armrests? Oh, it was gross. But what I saw took the afternoon
off. Was
it
like a glazed donut?
And I saw V for Vendetta.
Did you like it?
I did like it, but there were things that I did not like about it. But
what
V for Vendetta,
like?
John, you talked about it last week. Natalie Portman, right?
Yeah.
Hugo Weaving.
Portland.
He's V.
Right.
It was a good cast. The thing I didn't like about it was a little bit too slow paced for me. And here's the ironic thing. I talk a lot, John.
Really?
Yes.
No.
But this movie talked too much.
It talked more than you?
Talked more than I do. And if something talks more than I do, I don't know. That's too talkative.
Hugo Weaving had a great monologue. It had like 57 V's in it or something.
And that's
I kind of felt I had mixed feelings about that because it seemed contrived. It seemed almost Shakespearean in its contrivance. You know what I mean? Like that's not how anyone would ever talk ever.
Unless they rehearsed it like 8,000 times.
But as an actor, he took what I thought was a shitty piece of a script and made it work. You know what I mean? So I was kind of in awe of his abilities because he had no facial expressions.
Well, you're a comic book guy, and that's from a graphic novel.
No, he's talking about, and here's, I'll set him straight, Professor Tom. What he's talking about is he took dialogue, and he, without any facial expressions, he sold it.
Yeah. Oh. Which is a testament to his pure voice, which being a, wannabe radio guy, I'm
voice,
in awe of anyone with that kind of voice.
Body language.
Ability. Yeah. But I thought the Wachowski brothers did a really good job with the script other than that. the alliteration thing, I don't know. It felt, she should have run away at that point too. Like, she was not reacting at all naturally.
Oh, to the cops?
No, to the guy in the mask just kills four people and starts, viva, 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 viva.
Right.
Run, bitch, run.
No,
why are
no,
you there?
You're not
going to
run. You're not going to run.
Comic book.
Here, because no, you're not going to run if you're a woman, because I am in touch with my feminine side, Professor Tom.
Like,
and
right
here's
now?
What I'm thinking.
Right now?
Always, 24-7, I'm in touch with my vagina.
Well,
here's the deal with that.
That kind of movie review.
Here's the deal with that. She's about to get goddamn raped by the police, and this guy comes and kills him. So okay, not only that, he saved her from that, but the complete power, what do they call that, John? Somebody of power. That it's a natural aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole power thing. That at one man could take out the cops. I'm going to listen to whatever he says.
Well, if I remember correctly, didn't she help? Didn't she brain one of them?
Did
yeah.
she?
Yeah, she.
I thought that was a later
one.
Scene.
Yeah, she definitely. I thought even in the rape scene, she was not the damsel in distress. She was just 5'5" and 92 pounds.
Yeah,
I think 80.
You know, she just
92 pounds. That's
them.
Generous.
Yeah, I'm adding in shoes. That's fully clothed and carrying a wallet.
Wait, I thought that was a different scene where she helped him out, but that was in the
initial
scene.
Well, yeah, I remember the scene in the TV studio. She does definitely save his ass,
right?
But
right.
I thought even in the rape scene that she was not.
I don't
being
think
just
so.
A pathetic little, you know, she was actually fighting and kicking somebody at a, I think I remember kicking at a knife or something, distracting, calling his attention. Maybe I'm wrong. I only saw.
Yeah, I can't remember that. Yeah, me too. But
now, did you know how they kind of raped the story of Guy Fawkes for that?
Yeah, but you know it's based on a comic book, right?
Yeah, it's a graphic novel,
right?
By
Alan
Moore.
I knew
that. I've never read it.
And it was actually the actual comic book is, and the character is based on the Guy Fawkes.
Right.
David, I can't remember the other guy who they had a meeting about to pen this story.
If I remember correctly, though, and I could be wrong on this because this is like grade school or early high school history class, Guy Fawkes was not political. He was religious.
Right. He was a Catholic.
Right. He was blowing up
conspirators.
Protestants.
Yeah.
And he warned some Catholics, and they leaked it. And
right.
And his gunpowder didn't work.
Right.
Right. But
and two of his conspirators rolled on him, and he just wasn't very good at this. And it was this, yeah, so it wasn't necessarily political. It was Jesus was talking to him.
Right, right. But he did it for religious motives, but it had political overtones.
It did,
because
they were being persecuted. They weren't being treated fairly.
And
by,
because the Catholics had a huge role in the leadership at that time.
Is this the Elizabethan era? Do you guys remember at all?
It was King James.
Elizabeth?
King James. I'm not sure if it was Elizabeth or not.
Is it that old King
We'd have
James,
to ask
really?
Punky.
Well, all I know is Henry VIII came along.
1605.
Right? Henry VIII came along?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was not down with the church because they wouldn't let him get a divorce, so he just cut the heads off of the women. And then, even then, the church said, well, no, you can't shtup Jane Seymour until, you know...
Well, that was in the movie, right?
No, see, this is history. And he said, well, F you, I'm going to start the Episcopalian church then.
See that cutting the heads off women? That's old school pimping.
No yeah. doubt.
That's how you roll when you're king.
That's the way to do it.
That's how you keep the bitches in line.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just lop the head off. They still do that there, don't they?
Do they?
Do they have, yeah, don't they?
No.
Really still under some sort of monarchy rule, aren't they?
Well, that's the thing that would piss me
well,
off to no end.
I think there's a big
end.
Difference between monarchy and parliamentary procedure and beheadings.
Right, yeah. But the thing that would still piss me off is I'm working hard. Not only are my tax dollars going to the police and whatever, but they're going to the monarchy. What a load of shit! I would be so goddamn pissed off about that.
You know what would piss me off is that, like, we have our own little, like, we've had throughout history our own little monarchies. Like, for Paris Hilton, for example, nowadays, before that, there was the Rockefellers, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So Paris Hilton did absolutely jack shit to get her money. She was the lucky sperm club, like the president. But
the W.
But my tax dollars didn't go directly to George Bush until he got into, you know, like when he was living on daddy's money and Arab money, he was living on daddy and Arab money, not
right.
on Professor Tom tax dollars.
Right.
What would piss me off if I were English is these bastards have had money for 400 years and nobody invested wisely. Nobody figured out a way to get off the dole.
Well, no, yeah. they did invest wisely, and they're worth bajillions. Bajillions. Brazilians.
So they get tax money? Brazilians.
But they
Good
keep
Lord.
Sucking
that's,
the tax
that's
money.
That's a joke,
what's,
you know.
What's the Brazilian to a U.S. dollar conversion?
You know, well, there's
you
been
never
a,
heard the joke to the W that 300 Brazilians were killed.
He said Brazilian. That's a lot. How much?
How much is a Brazilian?
How much is a Brazilian?
That's out of sight.
Yeah. So that would piss me off.
But getting back to the movie, though,
all
I
right,
still,
V I for Vendetta. It. Well, there's a couple things that I loved. The thing that was so powerful to me.
Palpable.
Was when he finally got the Dick Cheney to show up with the W.
Right. Dick Cheney.
He said, deliver him to me. And he did show up with him.
Wait, you got to give a spoiler alert.
No, we don't.
Okay.
Because nobody knows what we're talking about. And then he was like, yeah, how are you going to survive? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. And then. Yeah. The gun started firing, and he did what he said he was going to do.
That was pretty pimp.
That was the kick-ass part for me in the whole movie.
Completely unrealistic, but it was awesome.
Totally unrealistic. Well, the whole movie was damn unrealistic.
I know. Everybody showing up in a Guy Fawkes mask. Like well, a cape and a hat.
No. Well, he sent the masks, but right.
Where did they get the hat
and the capes is what I want to know. He didn't send those.
Right.
They went out and bought those.
Yeah,
you got to accessorize.
Yeah, you got to accessorize. No, but they all. What do they do that through the internets? Did they accessorize? Hey, I'm going to show up
London
with a mask.
In a Guy Fawkes mask without a cape and a hat.
Right.
You do it in the big city. Like maybe that shit would fly in Sherwood Forest, but in London, no.
That's
well,
right.
Here's what I'm saying. We got to get some retail
Bloody
space.
Hell.
And all we do is sell Guy Fawkes costumes for Halloween.
Oh, you know this year. For Halloween, there's going to be a shitload of Guy Fawkes costumes.
I'm going to be Guy. We should get a Halloween gig and be Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes.
And bump our masks into the microphones when we're...
All right, now our next song is going to be... So every time we talk, it's going to be like this. So when we're singing and stuff, Manic Monday. Should it be a Sunday?
The other thing that stretched the realm of credibility... is at the very end when Natalie Portman's character moved the person into the train.
Yeah.
How the hell is that possible without help? No way. No way.
She could have done it, but it would have taken her 5 hours.
At least.
Yeah.
You know, like she weighs, again, 92 pounds max. She's a waifish.
I don't think she had shoes on, though, right then.
Yeah, I mean, that's and plus she's had her ass kicked a good couple of times.
Yeah.
At this point, she's not had a good day. She didn't get up and go jogging and go to the salon.
And we're in a,
she's been in a revolution.
Yeah, V fucks with her that whole time, and she comes out. You were just dicking with
me. That's the spoiler,
awesome.
Man. You got to play the spoiler for that one.
It was a hazing.
The movie's been out
that's
forever.
All it was. You're saying it like it's the Sixth Sense. And it's like, if you don't know by now, fuck you.
Well, I mean, anybody who's read the comic book knows exactly what the hell
that's
went
like
on.
That's like seven guys.
No. Come on.
No woman has read the graphic novel.
That's right. It is a love story.
Only dudes.
For you ladies out there.
It is.
Only dudes read comic books, I think. Well, I don't know. Lori always...
Well,
put Cerebus or whatever up on as
it's
one
a
of
predominant
her.
I think it's yeah. most guys
but I don't
or
know
most comic book readers are guys
every I took my son to the Comic-Con here in Chicago and there was some hot chicks
they're hired to be there
no I mean just hanging
oh, really?
Out and yeah
well, maybe I'll go to the Comic-Con
amongst the really geeky dudes
yeah and those guys have no idea how to talk to a girl either so
right
I'd be in sweet.
Well, getting back to the movie, there were a couple of parts where
what, John, you got notes? What are you
I laughed
He's
out
right
loud
on topic.
Where nobody else
You laughed out loud?
I laughed out loud, but I was the only one in the theater laughing out loud.
I had a few moments like that, too. What did it for you?
One was when the rat came in to eat the food, and he sniffed it, and he turned around, and he went away. He didn't even eat the food.
How do you train a rat to do that?
It was too bad for the rat to even eat. It had to be like feces or something.
Rat
feces. Well, make it out of plastic. It's a movie.
Yeah, right. That's true.
You know, you make
put
it out of
Tabasco
plastic.
Tabasco sauce.
Yeah, you rub a little something that's food on it, and the rat will run up and go, oh, that's not food, and run away. But now you got a pissed off rat, so now you're going to deal with it. He'll be in his trailer pouting.
Right. He's eating his green M&Ms.
There's another part, but I can't remember which one that was. What about you, Professor Tom?
The part where I immediately made the connection that he'd been hazing her. Play the spoiler alert. When she walks out of the room, like when he's there in the doorway, and she sees the guard.
Oh, when it was his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
immediately when,
it was his
voice. When she sees the fake guard, I was apparently the only one. It was a full theater. I was apparently the only one who put it together. And I started. Well, I started giggling. First, I went, "Oh God!" Like, you know, not loud, but loud enough to be heard in a quiet theater. Like, "Oh my God!"
That's just not right.
And I guess they thought that I hated mannequins because they. Just, and I was like, and so as she starts walking out, you know, the dramatic build. I'm just laughing, and the dude next to me actually looked at me. Like, what the, you know.
That would be John and Scott if we were like 8 seats over. We'd be like, hey, check out that fucker, man. Oh, God.
Oh, there was another. He made a couple of intellectual references, historical references that nobody else in the theater got, but I can't remember what they were. Little just quips, little clever bits of dialogue that were very historically. I'm a history nerd.
Like the W. So, he got his major in history.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
The same way he thinks he can speak Spanish.
Right.
He also has a master's in business, and we have the worst debt in history.
Right, right. And he is
so apparently he should try something he hasn't studied for a change, like being president.
Yeah, pedophilia.
Well, he did try war.
Right.
He never did that before.
No.
So, yeah, I guess. And he tried oil. So, yeah, he's just a failure.
Well, just type in failure in Google.
Yeah, have you tried worst band in the world?
No. Is this say type in worst band in the world? Court?
Creed.
Oh, really?
You get you may have to put it in quotes, but you click don't click I feel lucky to you know like you do with the Bush thing.
Yeah.
But you click it and then it'll say worst band in the world, and then down below it, related links, Creed.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean that's
all
truth.
Right, so getting back to V.
He does have notes, doesn't he?
A couple of things that really caught my attention, other than the priest that wanted the young hot that she was too old for. That was funny.
Oh, that was something I was giggling my ass off, and that was hot.
I think that was the other part where
that outfit was nice.
Where the guy came out and said, yeah, but she's too old, and you knew
right.
It was Evie.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was too old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing that really struck a chord with me as far as V's philosophy was when he said there is no such thing as coincidence, just the illusion of coincidence.
Right, which is the exact opposite of truth. There's no such thing as religion, just the illusion of coincidence.
Right.
Oh.
And I should write that down.
Hold on a second.
Write that down. Rewind,
wait,
John.
Wait, let me
rewind.
Get some coffee.
Write that down. And that's exactly the point, is that... And we talk about Tom Cruise getting into Scientology or for whatever people get into religion for. Coincidences happen in their lives, and they have to attribute it to something.
Right.
So they attribute it to some higher power, whatever they happen to be in at the time.
You know what else does that?
What?
Pigeons.
Pigeons?
Pigeons are superstitious. There are about a half dozen animals on the planet that are superstitious, meaning they make patterns. And from patterns, they make assumptions, and from those assumptions, they achieve results. For example, if you do an experiment where a pigeon pecks an object, like a little Morse code lever transmitter, he pecks it and he gets a kernel of corn or seed or what have you. And then you change it to where he has to peck twice. We'll figure that out. Pigeons are actually pretty smart, like crows are very smart too. Pigeons will peck twice. And then you do it 1, 2, 5, 4, he'll figure it out. Then set it to random and he'll peck himself to death.
Oh, my God.
Because he gets superstitious. He starts thinking, well, if I stand on one foot, well, if I spin around. Well, it was because I was on this side. Well, you go stand over there. It's alchemy.
So what you're saying is Tom Cruise has the intelligence of a pigeon.
Exactly. That's it.
because he a got into movies.
Allegedly.
He attributed everything to L. Ron Hubbard. All his success. It can't be just me. I don't have the talent for this. I don't have the good looks for this.
And a fellow by the name
didn't
of
like
Zinu.
Him until he was a Scientologist.
It has to be because of L. Ron.
Yeah.
That I'm getting these gigs and starring in Legend, the movie Legend. Was that it? Legend?
No. Legend was with Brad Pitt, you knucklehead.
What was the
Legend,
one he did with the
Legends
dragons?
Legends of the Fall, sorry.
No, Legend is Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Oh.
You fucker. Thank you, Professor
and,
Tom.
Tim Curry is the devil.
Oh, jeez. Well, thanks a lot, Tom, you Scott apologist.
No doubt.
What was it, Legend?
Legend. Yeah, look it up on your little computer.
He was Satan, right?
Who?
Yeah,
Tom
Tim
Cruise?
Curry.
Oh, Tim Curry was Satan.
Tom Cruise is Satan now.
No.
No, he's not. Because if to believe in Satan, you have to believe in the fairy tale that is Jesus Christ first.
Jesus Christ.
That was made in 1985. No directed
Jesus
legend.
H.
Jesus Herbert Christ.
Harold, you know, be thy name. Middle name.
You know who directed Legend? Ridley Scott.
Really?
Really?
Can't believe that because it's a crappy. I mean, it's not a good movie.
Who is the fairy in that movie?
The fairy, what's the fairy's name? Oh, Tom Cruise.
Nope.
you tried to trick me there, didn't you?
He was Raymond Fairy in War of Worlds. Did you know that?
Right. Raymond Fairy. Ray Fairy.
They said, well, the guy's name is Raymond Faulkner, and he said, no.
I cannot.
Make it Raymond Fairy, I'm not going to star in this movie.
I cannot see another Tom Cruise movie. I don't know if I could take it.
Isn't that interesting? I feel the same way, and you think about in the past in cinematic history, like Fatty Arbuckle got that bogus, I think it was bogus, I'm not sure.
It was bogus. Matter of fact, the jury, unprecedented in U.S. history, not only found him not guilty, but wrote a letter of absolution to be read in the court records. That's how bogus it was.
So they charged him with pedophilia. His career was ruined.
With rape, not pedophilia, rape.
Rape.
Yes.
But it was a minor, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't a minor. California law was not a little different laws then. But yeah,
right.
Well, now
I think
be
they
a minor.
Still have those laws.
17-year-old girl now. But remember, in Kansas, 16 is age of consent, so the laws have changed.
Wow, it's a good thing we have Professor Tom on.
Yeah,
history nut, man. I got a bunch of Charles Chaplin, Fatty Arbuckle, and Buster Keaton. That's why I know Fatty Arbuckle's because I love Buster Keaton.
He's going to be our attorney.
But you got Roman Polanski then, who was charged with some sort of underage fondling.
And if he ever comes back in the country, we'll be convicted.
I'm
pretty sure. I mean, that was one that, yeah, he did it.
So in when you talk about artists and their work, can you separate it from who they are? Like Michael Jackson, in my mind, complete pedophile, whatever. Can you still listen to his albums in the same way?
You know, I couldn't listen to him since Thriller. I mean, someone pointed out they call him the King of Pop, which I guess what they call you if you're okay for 7 years, really good for 2 years, and suck for 9 years. You're the King of Pop. I mean, name a good Michael Jackson album that's not Thriller. Go.
Off the Wall. I did it.
Really? You liked Off the Wall?
No, I never heard of it.
Bad is the other album.
Right.
I'm bad.
That's
bad.
Bad and Thriller.
Yeah. But
and
once you find out
crap.
He's like completely asexual or a pedophile, his work is completely different. Now, 100 years from now, will the story of Michael Jackson exist? Will his music still exist? And will they go together or not? You know.
Well, I mean, Michelangelo liked young boys.
Right.
Not quite pedophile, but he liked young, strapping Greek Adonis. And the Pope brought him to him.
Yeah, but that's peer pressure.
For consorts.
That's the way the Greek culture was, though.
No, Michelangelo was not Greek.
Yeah, but
he was Italian. Dumb.
Yeah, but he wanted to be Greek. Hey,
well,
I'm just
then.
A hop, skip, and a jump over to Greece.
But my point is that it gets separated out. You know, you get, you know, for example, Louis Armstrong, Satchmo, you know, beat his first wife, might have beat his second wife, might have been gay. And yet that gets lost. I think a lot of the noise gets lost. For example, we don't know that Hitler was a vegetarian and a painter who just failed as a painter. We won't know that George Bush was an idiot, just a bad president. No, you get drawn down.
What about Howard Taft? Idiot.
We've proven that, I think, over and over again.
But I'm saying,
show.
Like Howard Taft, it was proven too, and even Andrew Jackson. You know, it's a censure. He was censored.
Yeah.
By the Congress because he put everybody who he knew, everybody with the last name Jackson, worked in a cabinet position.
We'd like to invite Michael Jackson, Tito Jackson.
Jermaine.
Well, the interesting thing about Tom Cruise is the whole Scientology thing, especially with this whole Katie Holmes thing and the way they're doing the silent birth, and he's kind of brainwashed her into it, too.
They're not going to do a silent birth.
Oh, yes, I have a story about that later on.
That'll last right until that baby crowns, and then that bitch is going to turn back Catholic.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
We'll see about that. I'm still waiting for her to.
Oh, Jesus.
For the divorce.
Oh, Jesus, it hurts.
Zeno!
Zeno!
Oh,
just Zeno! Roll off the tongue. You think she screams that in bed?
Don't say Jesus, say Zeno.
Oh, Zeno. Oh, Zeno, right there. Like, no.
Oh, Zeno.
Oh, Zeno, that feels good.
Oh, my Zeno. Zeno, damn it!
I have xenophobia!
Zeno, damn it. That's nice. If I've told you once, you Xeno damn kids.
But Tom Cruise's
your room.
Tom Cruise's allegiance or whatever with Scientology, will that overwhelm his career? And will people look back and say and dismiss his career because of the stupidity that is Tom Cruise?
I say no, because Charlie Chaplin was also on trial.
Oh, he liked the young women, yeah.
Well, he also had a kid they claimed was illegitimate, though a blood test proved it wasn't, but a blood test was very new, and so it got ignored as evidence. He paid for the kid until the kid was 18 years old.
But it wasn't his.
Wasn't his. But right. The blood test was too new, and the kid looked like him, was the attorney's position. Just look at the kid. You don't need some newfangled right. Scientific blood test.
Forget science. Look at him.
Yeah, well, look at the kid.
And the fact that he put himself
in the
position.
Which they now teach that in Kansas schools, incidentally.
They do.
Yeah, they teach. Wow. Don't worry about the blood test. Just look at the kid.
Ugh.
I'm kidding. They don't.
No, I believe you because they.
They teach everything.
They
in
teach
Kansas.
Everything, including
creationism.
Yeah.
Well, they had to explain that gravity is just a theory, and there are several other reasons why we're stuck to the planet. For example, a large marshmallow-sized man pushing down on your head all day long.
Right. I saw that in Ghostbusters.
Or that gymnasium on your shoes.
That gymnasium.
The marshmallow bad.
The marshmallow man.
That stuff that looks like marshmallow juice on your feet.
You ever want to go back in time, just go to Kansas. It's like 1850 all over again.
NEM.
How is there not a Scientology temple there? No, I don't think that Tom Cruise's career will be eclipsed by his personal life because I think too many careers have been wild and crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you've had too much of that kind of stuff. I mean, you had Cary Grant who had halitosis.
Bad breath?
Yeah, but chronic. I mean, horrible.
He had ass Rock breath.
Hudson, Rock Hudson, his legacy is not one of a gay man. It's of a matinee idol.
Right.
I think all that will kind of fall away from Tom Cruise, unless he just continues to. I mean,
how could you say that? Rock Hudson, if we ask Daisy about Rock Hudson, she's going to say HIV. She's not going to say matinee idol.
But is she going to say gay or HIV?
It doesn't matter. HIV, gay, it's kind of synonymous with
bigot,
each other.
You bigot. Aren't bastard.
I? No, but I'm just saying that's the thought.
Right.
Yeah, when Rock Hudson announced he had HIV, it was very much, it was still called the gay cancer.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I mean, that's true.
And what about the guy from the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, absolutely. But Mr. Brady.
He doesn't have a real name.
Mike something?
Mike Brady.
Mike Brady.
Oh, damn it.
Damn it. Mike, damn it, Brady.
I thought I had the actor's name. Like, Mike something, Mike. You know, Mike Brady. I'm like, yeah, that's it. No. Crap. Was it his name? I'm
Mr.
so disillusioned
Brady.
Now.
I love that show because of the sexual tension between
there was absolutely
Marcia
no sexual
and,
tension.
Between Marcia and Greg.
The only sexual tension was between my right hand and Marcia.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Teenage boys in one room.
Which is still true today.
It is.
Because your wife is named.
One of the only people on the planet named Marcia.
That's true. Where'd you find a Martian? Good Lord.
Right.
I love that Mike Brady was an architect, but he had a house with one stinking bathroom for six kids.
Yeah, right.
And he put the rooms on either side of the bathroom. Like, yeah, because teenage boys and teenage girls really need in primates, if we did that in a zoo, that's called the mating
club. Right. And he had this huge, huge living room.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the den
and everything.
That
but
Greg
he had
moved into.
Three little tiny bedrooms.
What do they call that bath? A Jack and Jill bathroom, right?
Yeah.
With the two doors?
Called? I don't know. Oh, the pocket doors? Yeah, I don't know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. That's the one thing that rings untrue about that show, just like Battle Royale. Why wasn't Greg trying to hump Marsha the entire time? I would have been.
Well,
he was banging. He was banging Mrs. Brady.
Right.
In real life,
yeah.
Yeah. He was banging Carol.
He was banging Carol, the Wesson Oil.
You know, and depending on which season you pick, I might go the same way.
Right.
You know, right about season four, Marsha's not as hot as her mom.
I used to have a girlfriend
I could never get over the mullet.
I had a girlfriend with the same haircut. And to this day, she still has her hair that way.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
Who is that?
Halverson. Dawn
really?
Halverson. Yeah. I saw her walking her kids down the street a couple weeks ago. And she had the same Mrs. Brady hairdo.
But let's
How
talk
long
about
she had it
her whole life.
Let's talk about a-hole kids from sitcoms we were growing up with. Jan had to be the biggest bitch on the planet that I knew of. She defined bitch for me.
No.
Are you kidding me?
She had that boyfriend, George Glass. How dare you?
No. Jan was always whining and bitching about something.
Well,
Marsha.
I think one of the writers
the middle
read
kid.
Well, I think one of the writers read a like psychology 101 book and just ham-fistedly tried to create middle kid syndrome.
Right,
right. It was so overdone. It was like a Disney cartoon version of middle kid syndrome.
Peter was the same way, you know.
I'm thinking of what was the kid they brought on with the glasses?
That was when it jumped the shark, man. We didn't watch it then.
You know what? That kid was the appendix of the Brady's.
Waldo or Wally or I don't know what his name was.
The other kid that really irritated me was Dick Van Dyke's kid.
Oh, God.
Richie? What a whiny little pussy he was.
Man.
Smacked him more.
Always the same. Yes, with Dick Van Dyke's show, too, because little Richie, daddy, daddy. Well, now, Richie, that's not what we do. Okay. Like, the kid just turned on a dime.
Right.
He was a whiner and had no spine.
Here, I'll give
you really want the candy. Well, we don't eat candy before dinner.
All right.
Shucks. All right.
And then he'd come out and whine about something else.
I want my crummy buttons.
You know, if I wasn't busy the entire time looking directly at Laura's ass, I'd have been bothered by that.
Damn. Laura Petrie.
That was the sweetest hiney in black and white.
With those capri pants, those skin-tight capris.
Stirrups. They were capris.
Stirrups? What the hell is a stirrup?
Aren't they stirrup pants?
What the hell is... I never heard that. Stirrup.
Stirrup.
Is that what you ride a horse with?
No, stirrup pants. They got the little hook for the heels and the feet.
Her hair was
always
the same.
That's why her ass looks so good.
And those, I'm going to use your term, John, tits. Those tits were always jettison with the tight sweaters.
Oh,
and
you
the,
could poke an eye out with those things.
Damn, she was fine. She was so fine. And when I was like eight and I was watching that, I was like, how does this guy, Robert Petrie, hook up with that hot babe? It's got to be the humor.
Yeah.
It's got to be the funny.
And he was successful. He was a TV writer.
Right.
The chicks like entertainers, man. What can I say?
And the humor.
Yeah.
Humor.
Humor.
They like humor.
Humor.
Yeah. Make me laugh, funny boy.
Hey, you guys ready for a complete topic change? So you guys something kind of funny real quick.
Sure. All right.
Just a goofy little tech toy I found online. Podzinger.com. What it does, you know, like closed captioning on TV?
Yeah.
It's doing that for your podcasts.
Oh.
And I mean Total Talk Nonsense. I went in and typed, because I'm vain, I typed in Kinky Sex Radio because I was testing it. I'm like, well, let's see if I can find my show in this thing. You know, so if I send a fan to it, will they be able to find the show they're talking about, right? And it pops up, you got, because you mentioned me on the show and I was on the show, blah, 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 blah. But what's kind of cute is because of the Chicago accent, I get a lot of Professor Tam.
Tam.
Kinky Sex Radio. But if somebody's trying to find like a particular episode where you guys talked about, it's handy for you guys too. If you're like, didn't we talk about V for Vendetta, go to Podzinger, type in Vendetta, and it pops up all the podcasts that they've indexed so far. And it's pretty good. It gets Professor Tam, but if you check it out, it's actually kind of cool. I'm going to stop doing show notes and just put links to that. And then if you want to know about, like on my show, like spanking or whipped cream or whatever, you just type it into Podzinger. I'll have a Kinky Sex Radio page that they'll set up for you if you submit your feed. They'll give you a page for yourself to put in your website.
Cool.
And so you can just type it from my website. This will be a few days before it's up.
What's it called?
But podzinger.com or .cam.
All right, I got a couple of things. First of all, Tom, real men don't say cute, okay? So don't do that again.
What did I say? When did I say cute?
It's really cute.
The second thing is, I don't know if it was Podzinger, but I found a website that you can type stuff in and it finds it audio. Like if you typed in Tom Cruise, it would bring up all the TTN episodes and it would point you to the specific part in the episode.
That's
Podzinger?
Yeah,
yeah, that's totally kick ass.
Skip through your feed until it gets to that moment.
Yeah.
And then the
yeah.
nice thing is the iTunes link is your iTunes link. The website link is your website link. Like they're not leeching off of your content. They're actually providing a service that I immediately, my show wasn't indexed and I immediately submitted it because I was like, this kicks ass. They're not trying to piggyback my show. You know, they're giving me the links that I need. So if you find it through there. It was great. That's the same thing. We're talking about the same thing.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
You're right, Tom. That is cute.
Speaking of cute, did you get that picture of Punky I sent you?
Oh, that's totally hot. We're going to have to post
that. Well, that's
that.
What I was saying. It was so, so fucking
cool.
We
had to interrupt episode part, whatever.
Part one.
Episode 48, part one for that.
Awesome.
I told Scott, Scott's telling this great, you know, story about the Shaggy Dog movie, and I'm laughing my ass off. And he's thinking, oh, great. Oh,
I'm going to keep going.
Funny. I'm killing him.
I'm killing. This is killing.
And I'm fucking laughing at the picture you sent. I'm like, this motherfucker, man, this is cruel. So I told Scott, take your headphones off. Come over and look at this. So we're going to have to post some sort of a link, a trick link or something that people have to go to actually view it.
Maybe we'll post like three links. Click this link to click this link to click this one. Finally, you get to see the picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to do that confirm thing. Click the link. Are you sure you want to see the
right.
link? Yes. Are you? Last warning, buddy.
And it is one of those kind that you need to prompt.
You know what you should do? You should click the link, right? It goes to a picture, and it goes, okay, the picture I'm going to show you is worse than this picture. Are you
yeah.
sure? You click yes, it shows you another picture. It goes, okay, it's worse than this one, too.
Hey, is it worse than Jason's avatar?
Oh, is that the goat scene?
Did you see that? Oh, my Lord.
Well, I mean, like that.
We don't
for a minute there.
Wait a minute.
John's was a closed asshole, and his was a wide open asshole.
Well, I changed mine. I said, "Oh, wait a minute! Now, I don't want to start this crap, you know." And there it is. And wait a minute. Now you rip on Professor Tom for saying that's cute, but you just said, "Oh my word!
Oh my word!" Yes,
and you say that's hot.
That's hot. Yeah.
Hot.
Oh, my word.
That's so hot.
Oh, my word. I'm so verklempt.
I have to say that because I have two kids, or else I'd say, holy shit!
What the fuck?
All right, so PT is how I like to call him, Professor Tom. What's coming up on Kinky Sex Radio this week?
This week, hang on, I got notes here because we recorded a few days ago. There's a dirty video game like World of Warcraft. So you're a first person, you walk around, but you get laid. It's called Three Feel from Korea.
Oh, sweet.
But here's the kicker. Like, you could do that in World of Warcraft. You want to just meet someone in cyber text. No, you can plug in a USB-driven vibrator, and whoever you're cyber-fucking can control the speed and rate of the vibrations from their end.
Wow.
So, wait a minute. This is one of those internet games, right?
Yeah, it's like a World of Warcraft. It's called an MMORPG, a massively multiplayer online role-playing game.
So, like, I could hook up with somebody who has a name, right? And it's a fake identity. And it could really be John, is what you're saying?
And the characters, yeah. And the characters are modeled after the bodies of and moves of famous Korean porn stars.
I gotta check that. We gotta check that out. We gotta subscribe to that.
I'll send you some links. The only sites I've been able to find about it are in Korean, or if you have a subscription to Wired magazine, that's how I found out about it. We might have a segment.
Scott, it's too fast. Slow it down.
I wouldn't be Scott online.
No, you'd be.
I'd be Barry McDickin' you.
I'm my avatar's Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Or what was the other one? Holden McGroin and Craven Moorhead.
I'm Miles Long.
Miles Long, nice.
Huge organs.
Huge Jorgens. That's out of sight.
Jorge Hunguelo. Yes. Oh, we also cover talking dirty, shaving the genitals.
Hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Back up.
Talking dirty? What do you say about it? What is it about talking dirty?
That's one that might not make the cut. We just basically give an overview because guys, we aren't – a lot of times guys, especially younger guys, you're kind of unsure when to do it. So Gypsy just kind of weighed in her opinion on it.
You got to include that.
I might put it out as a bonus because sometimes the stuff – like it was a little rambling was the problem because I didn't really have specific questions for her.
Yeah.
So she was just kind of like, and she didn't know how to speak on the male perspective. So I kind of failed as representing the guy was the problem. It's my fault.
Scott doesn't do it.
I don't, and I want
He's
to.
He's scared.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Maybe nothing else I can say. I can put it up in the forums or something. Once I listened to it, it may be better than I thought. I thought I kind of failed her as representing the dude in that one. So we're gonna do it again. We definitely want to cover it as a topic. We do this on a lot of times, though, where I'll record more material than is necessary. And when I listen to it, I'm like, that's not.
You don't have to call the pussy pussy. Some women don't like that. You could call it the kitty.
That's
what I call it.
Is that really talking dirty? No, it's the kitty. You're cleaning it up. You're censoring yourself.
Hey, schmoodle kittens.
You're cleaning the litter.
Bunny. Who's my fluffy bunny? That's not talking dirty. Whose kitty's this? We talk about how to shave your genitals.
Oh, well.
Okay, can I chime in on here?
Go for it.
I've shaved the genitals before, and I don't recommend
it.
Yes.
Really? Why not?
I recommend getting shears. Because if you shave, then you got like a 12, 24-hour period of discomfort when the hairs are popping through.
Okay. I'll tell you the trick that I do.
Wait, Professor Tom has a PSA.
This is way more information you'd ever want to know about my junk. But I do the same thing you're talking about, a very close crew cut, like the closest I can get without being shaved because that way it doesn't itch. But then the underside of the penis and the balls I shave, which takes like 2 seconds. Just run a razor over, right? This makes the penis look larger, and that underside is sensitive. So I'm shaving maybe, we're talking 6 or 7 square inches, because the shaft has no hair on it. So it's just that under little dick goatee you got there. Yeah.
Maybe your shaft has no hair on it.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Now, I was going to ask you what motivates you to do this, and you already gave the correct answer, because it makes your cock look bigger.
Yeah, Scott's still that part too. Simian. That's why his hair on his cock.
I try to tell John, and we've talked about this, we want to release a diet book. The less I eat, the bigger my cock seems. Because the thinner you are.
I can't wait to see that at Borders.
Proportionally, your cock is going to be bigger. And that should be incentive enough. That should be incentive enough.
Lose 10 pounds and have a giant cock.
For any diet. And we could use that photograph you sent us as a testimonial.
If you will send me an email, I will make a book cover for that.
Oh, my God.
You can find the best photos online. But we talk also for guys. Now, shaving it, you can also trim way down if you type that stunt porn and it gets itchy.
Wait a minute.
And
let me ask you this.
You get about the same. But for guys performing cunnilingus on a woman, much easier when there's little to no hair.
Little to no hair. Yeah, you don't get them stuck in your teeth and stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a clean shave if you're not into that.
But tickle your underside of your nose.
Well, I go to the dentist for a haircut.
There you go. I go to the
Come on, Scott. That was
I'm still
genius.
Trying to get it.
You don't.
Now, wait a minute. Professor Time, you said you shaved the scrotum. Do you have to, jump in a pool, a cold pool, to get it all shriveled up
what
to do
you
that?
No, what you do is like every shower or every other shower. Don't knock it out in one sitting.
Oh, okay.
So initially, I just gave him a quick trim with the scissors. I'm not going to spend 45 minutes shaving.
No,
I'm
you squeeze the nutsack until it's shiny. And then you shave it.
See, I don't even do that.
Nutsack.
Every time I'm in the shower, I run a blade over it. And that gets 20 more hairs than I had last time.
Oof.
Then the habit of, you know, just run a razor blade over them. And by the 30th time you've done that, you are completely, but you didn't have to sit for 20 minutes and try and get every, because, you know, guys were hairy, especially in that area, you know, unless you just happen to be one of these guys who's not, but I mean, it had a lot of hair in that area.
Well, I don't know if you've hit 40 yet, but if you, when you hit 40, double the hair in all the areas. I don't know what the hell goes on genetically, but it's goddamn ridiculous, John.
It leaves your head and it migrates south.
It's all over. It's coming out my nose, my ears, my ass, my balls.
That's hot.
Ball sack.
My ball sack over here.
Do you got to shave the taint, too?
The taint? You mean
it depends.
Taint.
Taint scrotum. Ass. Taint scrotum.
Ass.
I leave that up. I refer to the taint shaving on guys as ladies' choice. Just ask the woman. If she's going to work the taint, I'll handle the taint. If she's
working
not going to work the taint. I'm not going to bother with the taint.
Work in the taint. Yeah. I don't know if the ladies like the taint.
Well, if they're working the balls while doing the oral, they can slip under, hit a little taint.
Oh, you know, wow.
If that's her technique. See, I've had girls that did that as part of the technique. I've had girls that it never occurred to them.
When
so
John does that to me.
So if I have one that's starting to venture in that area.
John does that to me, sends me through the roof, Professor Tom.
I'm telling you.
Wish you
when he
fucking
works the taint.
It taint happening, pal.
Taint misbehaving. Now, we also talked about lube.
Freak of nature.
What about lube?
Lube 101. We have a lot of younger, like 18, just turned 18-year-old listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And new to kink. And some, you know, as you get older, you need lube. You know, some of the ladies experience a bit of vaginal dryness in their 40s, 50s, 60s, what have you. And as we begin to have sex at an older and older age, one question I got from someone was, what lube do you recommend? And I sent back a quick, and she said, well, what about in the shower? What about with condoms? And I said, oh, well, those are two different animals. And she didn't understand that petroleum-based lubes eat through latex,
right,
which I thought was common knowledge. So I all of a sudden had to put the brakes on and throw it in as a topic for the show, because a lot of this stuff I assume is common knowledge. And I'm talking to someone, and I find out that because we're so repressed sexually as a country, they don't know. They're very intelligent. They're sexual people. They're 25 years old. They don't know that petroleum lube eats through a condom.
Right.
And so we did a very basic, like we recommended some lube. We did a couple anecdotes about lube.
Just use conditioner.
Crisco. If it was good enough for grandma, it's good enough for you, you son of a bitch.
Now, Professor Tom.
Bacon fat on your cock and you're good to go. Plus, that some bitch tastes good.
Put a little bacon fat on your cock and porker.
And you just start going and you're like, I smell breakfast.
Awesome. Oh, that's gnarly.
What were you going to ask me before I got this question, John?
I don't know. I'm so...
He's hungry.
I love the smell of bacon in the morning.
By the pork jokes.
I do that for the Muslims.
Now, Professor Tom.
Assalamu alaikum.
I've said on the show before... and I don't know when I realized this, but I am not really that kinky. I'm not kinky at all.
No except shit, for, Jesus Christ.
For trimming the pubic hair, that's about it. I mean, I'm missionary, I'm rear entry, oral, that's about it.
You know, that's as long as the woman you're with is on the same page, you can be as kinky or not kinky as you want to be.
Right. The question I have for you is, because you are into kink.
Yes.
When did you know... that you were into kink. That
oh,
you were
really,
really early?
Young. Yeah, like earliest sexual fantasies were a little deviant. To the degree of there was power exchange or there was bondage. Or, you know, you go through a whole gamut. Comparing my fantasies at 12, 13 years old to now, I've covered everything at some point in time or another in my mind. But even at the very beginning, it was just sort of ingrained. That's one of the reasons I do this show is because I wish to God at 18 years old, I had a podcast or anything. I didn't have the interweb. It wasn't around yet, you know.
That told anything you it was okay.
Not even necessarily, well, okay, yeah, that there's others like me. Others like okay. You. That's a message I try and get across. But even more important to me, I never felt like a freak. I just felt like I want more information. And so just to have resources and links and to hear two people who've done it or more as we're growing the show in season two. We're going to try and add 2, 3, 4 mics, etc.
So we can come, John.
Right. Absolutely, yeah.
And give a non-kink perspective.
There you go.
Well, except for our homosexual love affair that we hide from our wives.
Allegedly.
But I wanted to get some information out there, even if it is sort of AM talk show driven. In other words, it's unvetted. Here's what I do. Here's how I do it. So it's very Tom-centric. But at least you're hearing one perspective, and you can decide that that guy's wrong or that guy's right, or I'll try that technique or not. And then we do a little research, depending on the topic, some more than others. I bring in other opinions. But I at least wanted to get someone's opinion out there so that people could learn. And I've gotten a huge reaction off it. I mean, I get emails all the time from couples who are using the show to experiment, or young people. And by young, I'm 33, so I'm talking like 21 to me at this point.
Damn,
a young person.
He's young.
Yeah, see? Exactly. It's all relative. So I get people who say, you know, I discovered I was kinky around 18, 19, and I've been struggling for 3 years. And listening to your show has helped. So, I mean, that, you know, you're making a difference in their sex life, which is something they'll carry with them until they're 80.
That's right. Outstanding, man.
Which is, it's crazy to be a little stupid podcast and, you know, and all of a sudden you're having this impact on a small number of people, but a number of people.
Well, having an impact at all.
And it's, yeah, not, it's not hurting anybody. So, you know, what the hell?
It's I'll keep doing it right up into the moment the W shuts me down.
It's educational.
The W.
Well, you know what? That's all the time we have.
Well, I had one more question.
Well, it's 51 minutes.
Come on,
how long
man,
you want to
go?
Oh, my God. And then you bitch about how late it is.
I don't bitch. My wife does.
Well, see, Scott, we're an hour ahead now, so you can do an extra hour in your podcast.
Question. I can't fucking remember what it was now. Shit, it was really
cool. Oh, you know
cool
what? It was
too.
About the. It was about the CDC.
It was about the CDC. Now you got a gig juggling for the CDC. That's why you can't make our April 29th gig.
Yep.
Because you got
a
gig.
Be there.
Now, how does the CDC get in contact with a Professor Tom to hook up a juggling gig?
Well, I think that a lot of people don't believe me when I say, if you listen to the Kinky Sex Radio show, I mention from time to time, like we talk about fire play, that I'm a fire eater and sword swallower and I work in the circus. And it sounds like a joke. You know, it sounds kind of silly. Nobody works in the circus in this day and age. How do you make a living doing that? And the truth is, I am a rather serious competitive juggler, which sounds very strange.
Is there competitive juggling?
There is. There is the World Juggling Federation, and they were on ESPN2 this year with their World Federation of Juggling. Yeah. I'll send you guys some links.
Can I stop
amazing.
You there just for a second?
There's the world of extreme drumming, too.
Why don't they show that crap? You know, I turned on ESPN, and I thought I never thought I could be more bored than watching bowling, but I was wrong. I saw, like, poker on ESPN, and I was like, I tried to watch it. I'm like, what the hell is this? A couple of guys in sunglasses smirking at each other, throwing cards and money around.
Now, if they had competitive juggling.
Competitive. I would be totally into competitive juggling.
But I want to start full contact competitive juggling. That's a
knife
sport.
Throwing.
We play unicycle polo.
Nice.
When I lived in New Orleans on the West Bank, we had a unicycle club, and we played unicycle polo every Wednesday night. And that's the greatest spectator sport in the world. I also do off-road mountain biking, but on a unicycle.
Oh, my God.
You'll never see a human being wearing more safety equipment than Tom. But because I do this stuff, I have agents that book me. That's their job. And so one of my agents sent me a link to actually a Craigslist post. So he just happened to find it on Craigslist. And I called the person. They had auditions at Mike Ditka's restaurant there. And it turns out it's for an anti-obesity campaign for children sponsored by the Department of Health and Human Services, the Center for Disease Control. So I will be part of a 3-person team traveling the country and essentially encouraging kids to play. We'll be giving them, in this case, little yellow like dodgeballs for free and inventing games with them. And then my job will be to sort of, while I juggle, I ride a unicycle to a walking globe and some acrobatics, you know, to show them that moving and being physical can be play no matter how old you are, and teaching them to juggle with scarves and just basically getting them off their fat asses and out in the sun, which is not the slogan they're using.
That's what you whisper to them.
Get off your fat ass and juggle these scarves.
You know, you'll have a lot more sex if you're... No.
Right.
Interesting. John's
has
an,
bigger.
Not an allegiance, but a something, the opposite of allegiance to the sun. You hate the sun, man.
I hate it.
You do not go in the sun.
I hate the sun. No, I don't. I don't. I like the sun. I just don't like laying out in the sun.
Who lays out in the sun?
My wife.
Really?
I do.
When I'm in Arizona, me and the kids play in the pool all day long in the sun. If I'm in the pool, I'm doing something in the sun, I have no problem. But if I got to just lay there, forget it.
Do you read? Do you like to read?
Yeah, but not in the sun.
That's the way I do it. I lay in the sun and read because it feels nice, to, you know, the warm, the sun. It just feels good to lay out. So I go out to the beach. I got a beach.
Yeah,
right,
well,
next to
I go
house.
Out to the beach and they're pushing me back in the water. So
hurry before he drowns. He can't live in our atmosphere.
I'm not like you, Tom, where it's 90 and you're still cold.
Yeah.
It's hot for me.
All right,
I'm
so,
from the South, buddy.
Professor Tom, you mentioned a unicycle going down a mountain bike trail.
Yep, there's a handbrake on the front, right on. Yeah.
That's
Dear
me.
Jesus, this was a bad idea. What was I thinking?
Why isn't your agent hooking you up with the guys from Jackass to get that on film?
You know, the guys from Jackass, did you know that Johnny Knoxville is a Ringling Brothers clown?
I did not know that.
Yeah, all that stuff in Jackass is actually a lot more prepared. He's a trained stuntman.
Did not know
And
that.
He went to clown college in Sarasota, Florida. He's an alumni of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Clown College.
Penn Jillette went to clown college.
Yep.
And you got
And my brother's
down.
In Bible college. It's the same thing.
Wow. So you're an atheist and your brother's a born again?
Southern Baptist children's minister.
Wow.
Yeah.
In part three, I'm going to explain.
That's a sitcom right there.
I'm going to explain why.
An announcement. The Pod Riot Network, currently number 7 podcast in the world on Podcast Alley.
Wow. That's hot, man.
We have had 123 votes. This won't last long. The 123 last year, like last month, top 10 was like 200 something votes. So if you're listening, go to podriot.com, vote for Pod Riot.
Yeah.
Just type in your email. I made it real simple. Scroll down. There's the box. Because if we can get like 70 or 80 more votes, we might be able to stay in the top 10 for all of April.
We're golden.
Nice.
Which is, yeah, we're real close. I spent the last 3 days hitting every, and I'm sorry if you're a MySpace friend. I probably annoyed you. I sent everybody I recognized on MySpace that I knew wouldn't vote. Like I skipped Errol Wolf and Daisy and Lori and a few that you can kind of count on, basically.
Yeah,
you know, they got our backs. But everybody else who was like kind of had sent me an email message ever, a specific, like the box that you vote in was embedded in the email.
Right.
And then I followed it up like, hey, it's April 1st. Remember that email I sent you? Here's the vote box. And it worked. 100-something people went and voted the first day and put us. We were number 3 for a minute.
Damn it.
Yeah, for like a second.
That's out of sight.
That's cute in a way.
The Pod Riot's getting a lot more traffic, and hopefully we'll get some press. I also just signed a deal with Live365.com, so Kinky Sex Radio is heard by 65,000 people in Chicago now.
Awesome.
I'm hoping to get a couple of the shows from the Pod Riot Network on there, including TTN. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get the whole network, at least the audio cast portion of the Pod Riot thing, on Live365.
Sweet.
Oh, man, yeah. You're working your ass off.
What are we
I'm trying,
doing, John?
Dude.
We're picking our balls.
Hey, shut up. I'm doing more than you.
Well, I'm picking my balls.
You guys also have kids and job. I mean, I run an entertainment company, so I mean, it's the kind of stuff I do, and I don't have kids. So
we should just quit our job, Scott, and
All
get
right.
into this.
Yeah. Well, after I quit my job and I get a divorce, I could just move right in then, right, John?
I could juggle and do magic.
There you go.
I got light up thumbs.
I can juggle.
And I do a really cool trick with a quarter.
Can you juggle, John? I can juggle.
Yes, I can.
I can juggle three things.
I can juggle three things, too.
I bet you I can juggle three things better than you.
You guys come over. I can teach you how to juggle clubs. If you can juggle three objects, it's not that long of a learning curve to three clubs. Three's easy. Five's harder.
I want to do a five-ball cascade.
That's going to take about a year to learn.
All right.
But you can do it. I mean, it takes about an hour to learn three balls. Takes about a year to learn five.
I want to do a two-ball tea bag. Is that what they call it?
You know what a tea bag is, right, Tom?
I do know what a tea bag is.
All right.
I have four brothers and three sisters.
Uh-oh. It sounds like he knows what it is from personal experience.
Yeah, you did not fall asleep in my house first.
All the boys. At least you shave yours, right, before you drop it in your sibling.
all the boys are older. It was boys than girls. And so, yeah, so teabagging, farting on each other, just all the disgusting things. Yeah.
All right, we gotta go, man. And let's let's take it to part three. All right,
part three.
You want to talk in part three, Tom?
The heavy metal episode? Yeah, yeah, whatever. It's up to you guys.
All right,
I'm down.
He's down.
He's down.
I'm down.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, just all right. A click away. All right.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for
part three. Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.